Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
All right, would you rather does what would you rather does? A goofy question into an interesting topic. Would you give up two titles from the Jordan Bulls to have Patrick Mahomes? With no guarantees other than you have Patrick Mahomes. 312-332-3776.
I say give me Mahomes. But I didn't grow up in Chicago, so I didn't go to games with my grandfather sitting on the floor because we were well-to-do and could afford those seats.
I would go 4-2 in the finals and want to see maybe the greatest quarterback ever. We don't know where it's going to be. I know it's very early, but he's on a trajectory to be the greatest quarterback, right?
And you could still claim Michael Jordan's the greatest player of all time, even if they had only won four.
Juan in Norwood Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Juan?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say that I would not give up the championships because we don't know what Mahomes would have turned out had he came to the Bears. Remember, Fox was the coach, no offensive lines. It's too risky. That's just my take.
What did Michael Jordan turn into when he came to a crappy Bulls culture with multiple coaches in his first few years?
When did he win his first title?
Not till 91. Him in the league in 84.
True.
It turned out okay, yes.
That's true. I don't know. I don't want to take the risk. I'd rather take the glory over uncertainty.
Bird in the hand.
Juan, thank you. Like, I think we overestimate what the Bears would do to a good quarterback, because I don't think we've had them. Look at Deshaun Watson. It was pointed out today on SportsCenter. If you look at the numbers for Deshaun Watson, I think you'd be shocked by how well he's doing without DeAndre Hopkins, with him having a young play caller. His head coach was just fired.
They're 3-7, too, I believe.
Right. They're not a good football team. Look at his numbers. They're saying if he had a winning record, he'd be considered for the MVP.
20 touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
Yeah, and a lot of guys,
69% of his pass is nice.
The talent can transcend the surroundings for a long time. And I think we feel like
you put him with a team that's got that defense as well. I mean, like,
yeah, we got to the playoffs with Mitch.
Right.
Won a division title with Mitch. Ike on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. We're good.
I listen to the show all the time, and you make me smile during really difficult times. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you, Ike. That means a lot.
But tonight, you guys are dead, dead wrong. Tom, you said it clearly. You're not from Chicago.
That's right.
I'm from Chicago, and I'm talking about from Howard Street to 127th Street, from the lake to Cicero. I'm from Chicago proper. And what we know in Chicago is that Michael Jordan is not only the greatest basketball player ever, to quote Bobby Knight, Michael Jordan is the greatest athlete to ever do anything. And to take away from that for the hopes of maybe Patrick Mahomes might do something, because if you remember, the first year he would have been playing behind Mike Glennon with Fox as the coach, as the caller before said. And then the second year, we would not have gotten Khalil Mack, because they traded Khalil Mack to us because they thought the picks would be better because we had crap at quarterback. Now, if you take away two of Michael Jordan's championships, that means that he doesn't pass Magic Johnson as the greatest. He's somewhere between Magic Johnson and Larry Bird for the 90s, and because he doesn't have the accolades on his resume. So he becomes just a great player in NBA history, like Allen Iverson or like one of these other people. And
well, Iverson didn't win. I mean, we're still talking about four titles. Well, what if I could paint you this picture? What if I told you, Ike, that maybe you take away 93, the 93 championship, and Michael never retires then because he hadn't three-peated. And Michael still wants to play. And maybe you get more Michael instead of less Michael. Ooh. Because he's chasing more. Maybe he doesn't retire early in 98 because he only has four instead of six. Maybe we get more Michael instead of less Michael.
Well, to quote the great Carmen DeFalco, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, everybody'd have a great Christmas. That's a chance that I don't want to take, because in 93, he beat Barkley. He beat all the top players of his era. He dominated them. And that's what separates him from LeBron. That's what separates him from Kobe. He never lost. Like LeVar Ball has it in his mind, Michael Jordan has it in real life. He's never lost. And for us in Chicago to be able to lay claim to still the tallest building in the world, but for definitely sure the greatest athlete of all time, because he was undefeated in championship rounds, because he dominated when he could. When he had a chance to win, he did it. You know what I mean? Like when you have athletes, and I know I'm talking long, I'm going to end it with this. When you have athletes, it's like they're keeping you safe. You know what I mean? And watching Michael Jordan for the beginning of my life, and games were close down the stretch in the playoffs, I felt safe because I knew that Michael Jordan would make something happen
right.
to win the game.
He right. would no, no, you're the right, absolutely.
Here's the capper. I'm a LeBron fan, and I didn't feel that safety ever. I love LeBron James, and I never felt safe with him down the stretch. If it wasn't for a great shot by Kyrie Irving and a lucky shot by Ray Allen and Anthony Davis being from Chicago, LeBron James would have one championship. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's great.
I prefer the statement, if the queen had marbles, she'd be the king.
He's right, though, about the happily ever after part. Like, me growing up as a Cubs fan, when you always thought that the worst was around the corner, with Michael, you knew that the best was around the corner. That no matter how bleak it would be, he would come in and he'd save the day.
Would your life be significantly different if Michael only had four titles instead of six? You even have to, like, you had to think about that? Like, your
We're talking about sport. We're talking about
the
sport.
Okay, I understand. But from a sports
fan's perspective, the last dance doesn't happen. There's no last dance.
Okay.
Didn't that get you through some times in March, April, May?
You know what would get me through? Pat Mahomes as my quarterback.
Waddle, the lure of 6-0, though, in the finals, that is, like, not being 4-2, the lure of when you got there, that you weren't going to be denied, that you never had to get to a game seven.
You've never had a quarterback that you could really wrap your arms around.
I know, and that's why I picked what was behind door number two, because I could rationalize with myself some of these loopholes. It's totally a fantasy question.
Yes.
Jack and Lindenhurst, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jack?
I believe Jack dropped. Jack dropped.
Our friend Honey Bear in Crystal Lake. What's up, Honey Bear?
Hi, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
I'm going to have to concur with the rest of the callers, and this is why. Because though, obviously, Mahomes is a generational talent that can change the courses of time and space and everything, that doesn't mean we don't have Ryan Pace as our GM and is making no offensive line picks. What if we were the team to destroy Patrick Mahomes' career because he kept getting injured? Think of this. I mean, we haven't done anything. If we did nothing else but change just that one pick, that doesn't make the rest of the picks that we've made any different. And, I mean, we are talking about...
What has Mitch missed, though, Honey Bear? Mitch hasn't missed many games. He missed, what, 2-18 and 2-19? And then he came in for a trick play this year?
Again, think about it. I mean, we have, by far, the worst offensive line in the entire league. That's not a question. And we've had issues with this. Could Mahomes possibly do anything different? Who knows? Because that's the whole intangible. The fact is, what if there was that possibility? I mean, maybe. But if we're talking about things that we know have happened versus what we couldn't, I mean, come on. And then also, I'm not going to lie, I don't want to have to deal with the LeBron lovers. I'm a teacher, and all I hear about is about
there we go. There we go. Now the real.
Hey, let's be sure here. I'm just saying. Yeah. We have the intangibles of a possible Mahomes quarterback. With no offensive line and no help for him, or we have the guarantee of six championships.
You can continue to be greedy all you
Honey
want.
Bear,
four,
thank
four
you.
Titles. I'm okay with four titles and the best quarterback in our generation.
And it's not intangibles. He has tangibly better skill now. Maybe it wasn't apparent then.
I think she revealed her true issue. And it's the same thing that Bleck said earlier. You don't want to have the conversation with the LeBron people, the people that worship LeBron. I won't use the phrase that Chris used because I'm a mature adult. But
this is what I would say to George.
That's the real thing. That's the thing that's
driving people crazy.
Yeah, oh, my God, I don't want to have to have it. I can hold this over all of the LeBron fans' heads that Michael is – I could argue to you that the eye test tells you he's the greatest of all time regardless.
Here's what I would tell George. I would say, George, people think so little of what you guys do in management and with coaching that they don't even think Patrick Mahomes would be that good in a Bears uniform. That's where you know you have it all wrong. People have no faith that your general manager and coach would get the best out of the great quarterback in today's game. Think about that.
Yeah.
That's how little faith the Bears fan base has in what our team brings to the table.
How many titles does Bill Russell have? 10? In how many years?
I got to double check on that, on how many years.
So, like, total titles. So, why? I mean, my eyes tell me Michael Jordan's the greatest of all time.
Right. I mean, yeah, there's so many ways you could slice it.
He's an 11-time NBA champion, and Bill Russell played from 57 to 69.
So he won basically every year except like two or three, right?
You know, league was – there was nowhere near as many teams back then.
Sure, and the talent wasn't
as good. But why aren't you arguing that Bill Russell is the second-best player?
Because it's not just about counting championships.
I mean, to Waddle's point, to all the LeBron people, I would agree with Waddle. Why don't we talk about Bill Russell? Why don't we talk about Wilt Chamberlain? And then also the one that nobody ever talks about in NBA history, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Sure.
Right.
I mean, Kareem really is the second
leading
greatest
scorer
player of all
in the
time.
History of the sport, isn't
Absolutely.
He?
Absolutely.
You think Kareem's still ahead of LeBron?
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
Okay.
No doubt.
Ryan in Glenview, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
I think that there's one big thing being overlooked. Sylvie, when you read the Would You Rather, I believe it said, would you rather repick the 2017 draft? So wouldn't it just be Mahomes over Trubisky?
You're saying, Ryan, that we'd whiff on that one as well.
No, or you're saying Cleveland would take Mahomes number one. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying we take Mahomes over Trubisky, but then in round two, we get to erase the Adam Shaheen debacle of a pick.
Sure.
And we're taking
We could take Kittle.
And then we're still taking Eddie Jackson in the fourth, but with the other fourth-round pick, we're taking Kittle. And I'm a Packer fan, but if you had Mahomes, Kamara, and Kittle, I might be tempted to convert to a Bears fan just to watch that offense every Sunday.
Right. It was the third round pick that the Bears traded to the 49ers that ended up in New Orleans is Kamara.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee you're going to make good.
No, but if you redraft that now is what he's saying,
right.
Is if you redraft your whole draft now, you could make that happen with hindsight. So you're not just getting Mahomes.
Yeah, the Bears had 5 picks. Right.
So, but I thought you were going to go for the loophole that if everyone was redrafting, Cleveland would take Mahomes number one. And then we wouldn't even get Mahomes that way.
So then you got Watson, and then what do you do?
And I love Watson, but I'm not giving up two titles for Deshaun. I think Mahomes is that generational of a talent.
I agree.
Guys are greedy. Guys are greedy. You want all
Good
those
stuff.
Six titles
Good call,
and,
Ryan.
And crappy quarterbacks.
If you want to continue to weigh in, 332-3776, we'll ask Gene Greco this. No, Mark, he's not in today. Today's Tuesday. So we have plenty of time for your
call.
You can call him and ask him.
We can do that.
We'll continue to take your calls. Rob Domofsky will join us coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
We've had had some plenty goofy topics, so I can't say that the last topic we've discussed and will continue to discuss the goofiest. Would you give up two Bulls championships to have Patrick Mahomes in a Bears uniform? But it is, it's on the weird side. It's total fantasy. But that's where we are with our Bears chatter these days. I mean,
where we are.
The reality of the situation ain't good. So we might as well be in fantasy land.
By the way, did you see, unrelated, the Wisconsin game has been canceled, I believe? Basketball or a football game?
Really?
I believe so. Am I right, yeah. Black?
Yep. Yeah. Wisconsin, Minnesota canceled.
What was it? Was it? Is it a Wisconsin issue? Because they've had issues already.
I believe Wisconsin had a few positive tests.
Wow.
And so they lose to Northwestern, and then there goes their season.
Yeah. I mean, and they had missed, I think, two games already.
I don't
right?
know if Merkin can handle this.
Well, you know, missing a third game is not, you know, basically they're going to be out of any running for postseason play now.
Right. And
per
I mean,
the
they
Big
really
Ten's,
want to spin in.
I was going to say, based on their showing, I.
Well.
Okay. Just wanted to bring you that.
Let's talk Bears-Packers with Rob Domofsky. Rob grew up in the area. He's covered the Packers for many, many years for ESPN, and he joins us now on the Corona Hotline. Rob, happy Thanksgiving. How have you been?
Good, Sylvie. It's great to hear your voice, my friend.
I appreciate it, and of course, all your support. What has been the last couple of days like? I know there's nothing really going on now, but I mean, it's really been something with your. I read your story about Valdez-Scantling and the death threats and that game, them coming back from behind, but yet not being able to win. What has the last 48 hours been like?
Yeah, it's been weird because, like, they played pretty darn well in that game against probably the best team that they've played since Tampa Bay. And, you know, yet they still lost the game. They're up two touchdowns. It's such an emotional roller coaster type of game. And, you know, Tom, I'm sure you played in games like that where, I mean, you're up two touchdowns. Then you're getting run over. Then all of a sudden you hit a big play down the stretch. You force overtime. You win the toss. And then, you know, the second play of overtime, Valdez-Scantling has the fumble. But, they're not in overtime without Valdez-Scantling. So, I mean, like, you know, it's just such an emotional swing. And I think a lot of guys just sort of didn't know what to make of it because of how many ups and downs there were in that game. And, Tom, I don't know if you played in games like that or can think of one off the top of your head, but that was one of those games that just, you know, Sylvie, it was just such a roller coaster.
Rob, I'm not sure I ever played on a team that scored 31 points in a game. So I got to be honest. We were usually being drummed by somebody 31. That's the point I was going to make is, despite the difficult loss, you guys hung 31 on arguably the best defense that you faced. And from our perspective, I think it just means that the Packers are going to be focused and pissed off Sunday night at home with our Bears coming to town.
Yeah, you know what? You can nitpick some of the things that they did late in the game. Like, I mean, they're driving down in the 2 minute, and Rodgers spiked it twice. And, you know, you argue, how did he have to do that? Could they have had a couple shots at the end zone? But forget it, because Rodgers he's playing lights out. And, I mean, we talked last year, guys, that, you know, Rodgers kind of looked like he wasn't sure what he was doing in this new offense. You know, was it the mental part of it, or has his skills declined? But he has come back this year, and, you know, hanging 31 on teams has been the norm, not the exception. They have been so good offensively, and it's really because of Rodgers and LaFleur, and they are so much in sync because if you think about it, they really haven't had all of their guys together very often. I mean, the other day in Indy was the first time since week two that they had Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, and Allen Lazard on the field together, and yet they've still been mostly unstoppable on offense, and it's a formula that Rodgers and LaFleur, Tom, have perfected in really a short amount of time, basically a season and a half, where they're in sync play calling, there's so much good play action, there's so much good pre-snap motion. And I know we talked in the spring about how they didn't add any offensive weapons,
right?
But I think they're showing that they didn't really need any.
It's crazy, isn't it, Rob? I mean, they average 393 yards and 31 points per game. And yet that's I was just going to say, my first urge is how in the world can they not cater to Aaron Rodgers' needs? But right now, your problems are more on the defensive side of the ball than the offensive side.
No question. They can't stop the run. And I've got a piece going on ESPN tomorrow where, you know, as great as Rodgers, Adams has been, that they might need to get back to playing what, you know, Mike McCarthy always used to call it complimentary football when he was here, that things had to work hand in hand. And if you think about the third quarter of the Indy game, Indy comes out down two scores, yet they're going to run the ball on the first eight plays of the second half. Packers couldn't stop it. Then the Packers go three and out, and the Colts put together another long drive. And so, you know, now all of a sudden Rodgers has run three plays in basically a quarter. And it's, you know, it's because they couldn't stop the run. But the one way to maybe keep the Packers defense off the field is to run the ball a little bit more. So as prolific as they've been passing, I wonder if they really need to get a little bit more of Aaron Jones back involved. You know, week two, he had 168 yards rushing against the Lions, and he hasn't come close to 100 yards since. So, you know, they're going to play. Obviously, the Bears are a run-oriented team. They're going to play them twice over the final 6 weeks. They're going to play Derrick Henry and the Titans, and you know they're going to run the ball. And then they have a game against the Panthers, and if Christian McCaffrey is going to play, that's a run type of team. So, and that's what you're going to see in the playoffs, right? I mean, like, last year in San Francisco, the 49ers ran it 42 times and threw it eight times because that's what happens in the playoffs. So they've got to figure out how to stop the run. They've got some great edge rushers in the Smiths and Rashawn Gary. They've got a really good corner in Jair Alexander. But it might not matter if you can't stop the run up the middle.
Rob Domofsky joining us. We're talking Bears and Packers coming up on Sunday Night Football. Rob, I want to ask you about Adams and the chicken or the egg thing. And this is what we're trying to figure out here in Chicago, because we know they can't draft and we know they can't develop, but we always want to know which it is more of. So, like, Cole Kmet isn't getting on the field and he's not producing. Is that because it was a bad pick in the second round, or is that because they're not developing him? And Devontae Adams is a second-round pick. Are you convinced if he would have gone to another team that he would be a stud right now? Mm. Or do you believe that Adams going to Green Bay, being there with the Packers, being there with Rodgers, has helped him become a stud?
Well, I mean, it helps. Sylvie, you have to have a quarterback, but I don't know that you necessarily have to have an unbelievable quarterback. What you have is chemistry between the quarterback and the receiver, and Jordy Nelson had it with Aaron Rodgers. Jordy Nelson was a second-round pick. James Jones had it with Aaron Rodgers. James Jones was a third-round pick. Greg Jennings, same thing. Greg Jennings was a second-round pick. You don't necessarily have to draft a receiver in the top 20, and he turns into a star. Adams has some rare athletic ability. Jordy had unbelievable body control. Greg Jennings was maybe the most precise route runner of the group. So they all had something special, but I think it's the connection and the chemistry that they developed with the quarterback. And I don't know how much of that is the receiver, how much of that is the quarterback, how much of that is the coaching, but there is a connection there that guys either have it or they don't have it with their quarterback, and it's clear that Rodgers and Adams have it.
Rob, big picture, where are Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers? Is this kind of like a year-to-year thing, or is there some animosity because of the Love pick, or where are they at right now?
Yeah, Paul, that's a good question. I think LaFleur did a really good job of distancing himself from the Jordan Love pick, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I got to go into that quarterback room, and I've got to coach this guy every day. Team manager Brian Gutekunst has to worry about, you know, the future, the long-term future of this team, the long-term success. And I remember asking him, the GM, in 2018 when he got the job. We're at the Combine. We're sitting in Harry and Izzy's restaurant just across the street from Lucas Oil. And I asked Brian Gutekunst, he's a month into the job, I said, do you basically think that you're legacy as a general manager is going to be determined by whether you can find the next franchise quarterback? Because, you know, Ron Wolf traded for Brett Favre. Ted Thompson drafted Aaron Rodgers. You're the next guy. And he goes, look, I get what you're saying, but I'm not thinking about that right now. Well, 2 years after that, he obviously was thinking about it because he made the Love pick. But LaFleur, I just think, has said, look, you know, I've got to coach this guy, whether I like the Jordan Love pick or not. And I think he probably did. But he can't let Aaron Rodgers know that, and I think he's done a great job of that. I mean, LaFleur was hired for his X's and O's. You know, he came from the Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, new wave of the West Coast offense. But what everybody failed to realize, or at least those of us on the outside failed to realize, was just how good he was going to be at connecting not only with Rodgers, but with all those guys offensively. He got Rodgers to buy in, and therefore the trickle-down effect was that Rodgers' leadership has been as good or better than I've ever seen it the last 2 years.
Rob, before we let you go, as someone who grew up here and has seen bad offenses here, and you've covered this team from afar with these two games at least, are you even surprised with how low they've gone with offensive football?
I am, especially because it was just 2 years ago that we were, you know, talking about how Matt Nagy's system was going to be so good for Trubisky and how, you know, it was part of this, again, the new wave of coaches, the new wave of offensive football. So I am a little surprised that it has deteriorated so quickly.
Who would you rather see on Sunday if you're the Packers? Mitch or Nick Foles?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're the Packers, you'd rather see Foles because you've seen how kind of down it's been the last couple of weeks. And, you know, if Trubisky gets thrown back in there, maybe there's a little bit of a rebirth there. And maybe he, you know, saw something by sitting out and learned something by watching these past few weeks.
Good stuff, Rob. We appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the game, okay?
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving,
thanks, guys.
Rob.
Hey, and since JD's not coming up, since we're not traveling, the Domofsky double points is available if anybody wants the Dickerson suite for this weekend. So
there you go.
What kind of food do you serve for breakfast?
Well, it's a request. You know, it's a request. So whatever you're looking for. JD's right. Usually simple. He's just coffee and a muffin.
Great stuff, Rob.
Awesome. Thanks, Rob.
All right, we'll be seeing you.
There you go. Rob Domofsky. Great. He's been covering the Packers for years, grew up here, believe in the Rolling Meadows, Arlington Heights area. 312-332-3776. We were still talking about the Mahomes topic with the Bulls. And also, don't forget, we've got holiday parody song season starting. We'll give you all the details on that coming up next.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Let me update a story and clarify it, too, with more details here. The COVID issue is on the Minnesota side of things. So because there's a COVID issue with Minnesota and they've paused all team-related activities as it responds to COVID-19 cases in the program, Brett McMurphy tweeted that the game still with Wisconsin is canceled. So Wisconsin is now basically ineligible for the Big Ten title game. So Northwestern only needs one win in the final three games to clinch the Big Ten title game berth. But again, it is with Minnesota this time. Wisconsin had its own issues a few weeks ago. But because of what the Big Ten has elected to do with their late start and whenever there would be a pause, if a game does get canceled, they don't get made up. And it doesn't matter on whose side it's on.
So
they
Bucky's
lose
not sicky, Bucky just sucky.
Yes, Waddle texted Merkin during the Domofsky interview that Bucky not only sucky, but they're sicky. They're sicky and sucky. But no, Bucky not sicky now.
They were.
They were sicky. Now they're not sicky. They still just sucky.
Well, yeah, and it's the same end result for their season, right?
Merk.
Yeah,
what did Merkin say?
Like, Merk's voice, his voice had anger in it. When talking about the loss on Monday, when
he should
was
be
on.
Angry.
Well, Cap was tweeting him too, and you know, trash talking and everything like
now
that.
Maybe Cap can send him a Thanksgiving T-bone.
Who's Cap's team?
Hamlin. He went to Hamlin.
Did you know he played football in college at Hamlin?
No, yeah, with long hair, right?
Yeah.
So did I. Look right there.
No, he said it was going out the back of the
so home. Was mine. You don't
no,
think those
that,
golden locks like
looks
Golden
good.
Richards?
You got a good look there. Not like a like ponytail length.
Yeah, I never got that long.
What isn't Cap a Clemson fan?
He's a Dabo guy,
so,
right?
He's a big Dabo guy, huh? How's that working for him this week?
Oh, Merk just gave me the finger.
Yeah, there you go, Merk.
Well, that's not classy, Merk. Come on.
So, yeah, Northwestern just
Bucky dirty, too. Bucky Dirty.
Sucky, sicky, and dirty, dirty. What are we talking about? Mahomes and Bulls championships? This is what happens when the Bears drive us crazy.
Yeah.
This is what happens.
How about Rob Domofsky telling us, too, that, like, they'd rather see, he thinks they'd rather see Foles than Mitch. Mitch, give him a little spark.
Who
cares?
Look
at you, Black. I know. I know that's the answer. And it's like, it's so silly. Like, we get it. We're all on the same team on that. It doesn't matter. I know it doesn't matter, but you still have to make a decision for Sunday night.
That's how bad the Bears offense is, that the better option for the Bears is an injured, throwing-shouldered Mitch Trubisky, who's already been denied his fifth-year option and has been benched once.
You've seen
this
Nick,
year.
Haven't you?
I know. That's, think about that. They said, no fifth-year, Mitch. We know your throwing shoulder is hurt, but you're still our best option.
Maybe Nick will go down to Florida and walk the beaches with the shark.
Tom in Edgewater, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tom? Oh, I just spilled my water all over my workstation.
Are you all right?
No, I'm here.
See, you made me spill my water, Tom. I thought I got the phone line wrong, and then I knocked over my water.
I got two kids running around. I was on mute. My bad. I was talking about the would you rather. You know, I just had a little twist to it. Do you get to pick which championships? Because I tell you what, if you're taking away two of the championships in that first three, no way is Michael retiring. And that drive's going to be harder. And then we get Mahomes, too?
Yeah.
So I think we might end up with more than six if we take away two, because I don't think Jordan leaves that game.
See, that's what I was saying. Like, I was looking for loopholes.
I think you can make that. There was no clarification on the question that said you could not pick the two. It just said you give up two.
Right. And that's why I said 93 and 97.
There you go.
Let's go to Don McHenry. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Donnie?
Hey, guys. I want to make my selection here, and then I got a crazy stat to follow it up with. But I would stick with the six Bulls championships because I'm a lifelong Kansas City fan, and I waited 50 years for Mahomes.
There you go. Rub it in, Don. Yeah. That's what you called for? To rub it in?
I wanted to share maybe a little bit, but I'm trying to be a Bears fan. I've lived here for 20 years. It's been a struggle to become a Bears fan, but I'm trying real hard. But here's either the hope or the depressing stat. When Mahomes started the last game of his rookie year, 3 years ago, and they beat the Broncos in a meaningless game, that was the first time the Chiefs had a starting quarterback who was drafted by the Chiefs that won a game since Todd Blackledge in 1986. That's how long we went.
Wow.
And so it's like, so it can happen. I mean, Mitch has actually won some games. But, I mean, that's just an incredible stat. A drafted quarterback that didn't win a game for, what is that, 31 years?
Right. But you guys still got Montana. Like, he was a, you know, and I know it was at the back end.
During those years. Yeah, I lived there during those 2 years, and it was still fun. I mean, we went to the AFC Championship and got humbled by Buffalo. But it was a fun run watching Montana, even though he was on the back end. He still was different. He was fun to watch.
Don, thank you. Appreciate it. Pete's in Itasca. What's up, Pete?
So you guys are forgetting about the last dance and Jerry Reinsdorf. You take the 93 championship away from the Bulls, Reinsdorf probably would have looked and said, okay, my guys have reached their potential. It's time for me to start moving pieces. He would have traded Pippen. We would have got Sean Kemp. We never would have signed Rodman. We never would have won 70 games. And then you don't win those remaining titles and you end up with only two.
People are digging deep on this.
We were promised four, though, in the would you rather. I'm just saying.
You're getting four.
No. We were promised four.
You don't get promised anything. You don't get promised a championship if you get Mahomes, and you don't get promised a championship if you take.
That's fair.
Pippen away.
That's a fair statement.
Oh, and one more thing, Sylvie. Next, this upcoming March will be a 30-year anniversary of me surviving non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
That's amazing. And, like, I know, like, you had it tougher than I did before all the advancements. So that's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yeah. There you go. There's a lot to be thankful for. Tomorrow's show will be more reflective, too, on all this. Randy's in Seattle. Hey, Randy, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. Answer to your question on the Bulls and the Bears picking Mahomes, in a minute I would take Mahomes. Give me a shot at a quarterback for 10, 12 years with this team, absolutely. I'll give up two championships. So I have a thought on how the Bears decide the quarterback against Green Bay on Sunday night.
Flip a coin?
You have, even better than that. You have Foles and Trubisky duke it out, and the loser has to start.
So you have two injured guys, one with a bad hip and one with a bad shoulder, go to the octagon. That's what you're saying?
Not good enough, sure. They duke it out, loser starts.
Loser starts. Has to stand behind that line for 3 hours on Sunday night.
And then get their ass kicked again. Thank you, Randy. Appreciate it. Octavius downtown, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Octavius?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. We're good.
Hey, I just want to chime in, right? So this is my idea. I wouldn't trade two of the Bulls championship for Mahomes. As much as I love Mahomes, great player. My thing is, I don't think the Bulls should have to pay for Ryan Pace screw up. You know what I mean? Because like some of the other callers said, like if you get Mahomes and he gets injured or it doesn't work out, you turn into Ryan Pace all over again. You done traded two of the Bulls championship and didn't get nothing. You know what I mean? So
yeah, that's a good point.
Think, I mean, unless I get to beat Homer and Ryan Pace get to beat Bart Simpson, I get to choke the living life out of him, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Octavius. Good call. I mean, it's going to be amazing.
Other than the choking part.
You know, if they do what you think they're going to do, Waddle, and keep these guys, like, not only will we reflect on this in 10 years from now as Bears fans when it is finally over, we will say, not only did this guy make what was probably the worst decision in Chicago sports history, but he continued to not build an offense. They developed nobody. They got really nobody on offense.
It wasn't the exception to the rule. It was the rule.
What do you mean?
Him missing on the quarterback. Like, it wasn't like he hit on everything else, but just missed on
exactly.
The quarterback.
The rule has been him missing, especially offensively. So, like, not only will it be so, it's so obvious that what needs to happen, and then if the Bears compound the mistake by sticking with it another year,
I will say,
and letting him in on decisions for the future.
I said it with Dan when he was on with us earlier, Dan Wiederer. I truly believe inside Hallis Hall that George and the entire McCaskey family, they look at, just my speculation, they look at the performances against the Packers differently than everybody else.
So you think it's still,
I think if you go out there and you beat the Packers, it is more valuable to them than if they beat the Lions. I think if you get beat by the Packers, it stings more. And if you get embarrassed by the Packers in front of a nationally televised audience, I think that carries more weight. That's a significantly bigger issue if they play on Sunday night, lose, and lose in an embarrassing fashion.
Okay. There is something to celebrate today, Waddle, with the holiday parody song contest. We found something out today. We will tell you about that and give you details on this year's contest next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
One listener tweeted us earlier today saying that this will be the 10th time we'll be doing the holiday parody song contest.
2011, right? Isn't that what somebody tweeted?
Yeah, the first time that you did the parody song contest was in 2011. I know this for a fact because it's the year my daughter was born. So that's the way we identify with music,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
Things happening in our life. They marked the occasion by noting, hey, Waddle and Sylvie, they're doing this weird holiday parody song contest.
People love it.
So, yes. So then this would be the 10th. And the Waddle and Sylvie 10th Annual Holiday Parody Song Contest will commence on Monday. That is November 30th. I could give the new website, right, Chris, right now? Can I give the website?
Yep. It's all active. We're ready to go.
It's all active and ready to go. So start exploring the website, because this is the way you submit your entries. You no longer email us. Just do it through the website. It's ESPNParody.com. ESPN and Parody, ESPNParody.com.
I just misspelled it.
Yeah, because there's a couple ways to spell it. Yeah. ESPNParody.com. There's like a spoof, and then there's also like parody as far as like as far as anyone can win on any given, you know, anything can happen.
Oh, there I am.
Oh,
did you spell it parody? Like P-A-R-I-T-Y?
I may have.
Well, yeah. Who's this?
Like a parrot?
It's Abdallah. Turn on the Twitch, bro.
Abdallah's in here just to make fun. But it's the Waddle and Sylvie holiday parody website. It's very nice. I like it.
Yes. So they created a website for it, and I'm going to it right now. Let me get back to the details here regarding when you could start submitting everything. Obviously, like I said, you can start submitting it coming up on Monday, November 30th. And it's going to be fantastic. Chris, you have a couple of examples, yes?
Sure,
Of what we're looking for from, these are some of the better ones from previous years.
Yeah, so this is from last year. He was a finalist. It's Edward Cook. The song is titled Visor Guy.
Oh. Visor Guy, you're making Sylvie cry.
Yep.
He's so much wanted a winner, not Steve Spurrier, Visor Guy. Say bye-bye, soon it will be winter time. Get a knit cap or a fur hat, put it on that chrome dome. We just need to protect all your genius. A fedora a la Landry, or a hoodie like Bill. Just remember to never be you. Oh, Visor Guy, Word Salad Guy. You've got a mouthful of peanuts and Cracker Jack. Third and one, run shotgun right to the unemployment line.
Well done. I thought that was nice and simple, but very good. Did Sylvie leave?
Sylvie?
He's gone. I think he went
by.
Did
he spill water on his stuff again?
He was cleaning it up in the commercial break.
Was he?
And I wonder if something short-circuited.
He said he spilled water on his phone.
Yeah, no, he on the desk. On the desk. Because
like maybe
during,
he unplugged
during the commercial
something.
Break, he was cleaning it up.
Yeah.
Woo!
Sylvie?
Wait a second.
Sylvie?
The teacher's gone. What's
Sylvie?
Up, kids?
Sylvie?
That sounds like a topic for parody song.
Yeah.
Sylvie spilled water on his device.
There's
now,
tons of
as
stuff.
We played that song, I heard him in the back. Like, he was there. Do you want
was
me to give you one more?
Off? Have you guys given tips and tricks to this thing
Excuse
yet?
Me?
Of like
no,
how
you,
to like
you can
like
give
how
a couple after this.
We're so giving tips
one more.
And tricks.
Yeah. Do you guys remember Shingles Hell Shock?
Yeah, when Cap had a 1920s disease.
Yes.
When I got ripped on for making fun of it.
Yeah, yeah. This
and you
was,
will again.
This is from last year. Daniel White and Doug Banks.
What is it, Doc? Leprosy? West Nile?
Well, you're not far off there, Sparkles. You got the shingles.
Go blank yourselves.
Shingles hell, Cap is in shock. The dirty disease from the herpes family. Itching and burning, Mindy called the doc. These blisters are about to pop. Shingles hell, get Abdallah on the clock. Should've got the vaccine, now I'm in quarantine.
Fambir and Valtrex, ends over Rex. Doc prescribed the Max. It's a freak show, my blisters leak slow.
I think I'll just sleep all day. Naked nap time's always Cap's time.
to FaceTime with Jordan and Shay.
Take that!
Fever's up, throat is hoarse, skin is crusty. This filthy rash can't be stopped. They're like stinging pimples, but this ain't acne.
So chug some Zinfandel with Advil liquid gels. That's the shingles hell shock.
Oh boy.
Look away, I'm hideous.
And fantastic. Sylvie's back.
Oh, he's back. There he is.
The first time in months my internet's ever gone down. It
really?
Went down for a minute or two. Yeah. Everything just reset. And
we
then,
thought maybe you completely doused your environment there and you couldn't get back online.
I did spill water, but not on any equipment.
Oh, okay.
I was very lucky.
Good.
So those are some examples, and we want the best ones sent by you, okay? So it starts on November 30th. Submit your entries to ESPNParody.com. You can enter through 6 o'clock in the evening on December 16th. We'll then name the top five, and we'll do a post-show party where we'll crown a champion. Okay, we'll have announcements on prizes and everything like this coming up. It's all brought to you by our great friends at Miller Lite, American Sale, your Chicagoland Toyota dealers, Lou Malnati's Pizza, and peanut butter whiskey.
Yeah, night with Screwball.
Delicious.
Yes.
Been drinking Screwball peanut butter whiskey all day.
So get to work. And again, starting Monday, we will start playing this year's examples, but those will give you some great things to play. Black Abdallah, what do you guys have coming up on the show?
Oh, we're going to talk. It's Meat and Cheese Week. You know, the Bears and Packers. We're going to talk to our buddy Greg Scalzo from Scalzo and Brust. And we're also the college football first of playoff rankings come out in about 15, 20 minutes.
Where's
so we'll
Wisconsin?
Talk about that as well. Huh?
Where's Wisconsin on that?
Where's
list?
Wisconsin? They'll probably be in the top 10, I would say. But, I mean, they're not going to play, so... doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Northwestern may be, what, sixth? Sixth, seventh?
No.
No? I bet
Northwestern,
you they are.
I would say Northwestern won't crack the top eight.
I'll bet you on that.
Okay.
All right?
Sandwich All right. bet.
Sandwich.
Sandwich. Hey, say
I'll bet you one of those pizzas.
One of the pizzas.
Not sandwich. Double. I don't want to double it.
Why?
A single pizza. Because I still want a free pizza.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Northwestern will be in the top eight.
Oh, so eight. Well, eight, I said...
Top
right,
eight.
Fine.
You said they
Type
won't
eight?
Be in the top eight.
Okay, fine. They'll probably be eighth, but and I'll lose.
All right.
So.
That'll be three pizzas.
Yeah.
All right. We'll find out. Now there's interest for me in this ranking. All right. Black and Abdallah coming up next. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.
It's the classic.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.